This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
With Community Waikato on Free FM 89.0 and as part of our Community Waikato podcast series. You're listening to Roseanne Murray, and I have with me in the studio today Robbie Herman, who is the Hamilton City Council Response and Resilience Manager. Welcome, Robbie.
Kia ora, Roseanne. Thank you.
Hey, it's great to have you here, and I'm really interested to hear all about your role and what your team do, not only within council, but obviously for our Hamilton Kirikiriroa community as well. So maybe if we start off by just giving us a bit of an overview of what your role entails.
It covers a number of things, but primarily it's around emergency management. I have two staff who are emergency management officers, and their main focus is around preparation and planning for emergency events, mostly around natural disasters, but that could also include, you know, man-made disasters or things that happen where a coordinated response is required. So there's lots of work ongoing in the community. Because really the community are the first people that are going to respond whenever there is an incident. Mm. Someone has a medical event, emergency services are very unlikely to be there on the spot. It's going to be someone passing by. So we sort of take that same thinking that in an emergency, the community are the ones that are going to stand up first. And if the community are prepared and have some understanding and some knowledge about what to do and how to go about it and know how to get the help, we'll be a long way to minimising the impacts of whatever the event is.
I think that's vitally important too these days, is because back in the day, I suppose, I'll say my parents' day, you all knew your neighbours. Everyone knew everyone. The kids all probably went to the same local school and we weren't so transient. But these days, during the COVID times and the lockdown, you hear so many stories about people actually introducing themselves to their neighbours. They'd never known who the neighbours were apart from waving out, and I'd be probably one of those guilty people myself with one neighbour on one side. And so I think it's now more critical than ever, isn't it? That we all get to know who our neighbourhood is, and especially maybe more those vulnerable people out there in particular.
Absolutely, it's vital. We probably, and in a city as well. Mm. Sometimes you find in a rural community, just by nature of their location, sometimes they do get isolated. The road's out or things have happened. They tend to band together. You know, there's probably a more of a need and a more regular practice at it. Whereas in the city, it probably doesn't happen as frequently. That yep. You're not as isolated. There's much more access to shops, to support during those times. So we've probably lost that art of being able to lean over the fence and say hello to your neighbours. Get to know, like you say, the vulnerable people that live nearby that are going to need some additional support when things go wrong, or when there's an emergency event. Just making sure that those people are thought about and that someone actually goes and checks in on them.
Yeah. And talking about checking in, I mean, it's quite sad these days. You still see the stories about maybe where someone who was living alone, had no close relatives, has passed away and no one's actually noticed for maybe a week or two. I was just reading yesterday about a scenario with one person. It took the neighbour, thought it was a bit unusual but didn't think too much about it, and then maybe about a week later I thought, this doesn't seem right. So obviously then the police did their welfare check, and unfortunately the person was no longer. It's probably critical, isn't it, that we do look out for our local neighbours and the community.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, it's got to start at home. You know, are you prepared yourself? How good are you going to be when something happens? And then your next door neighbour, you know, the next person down the street. Doesn't mean you have to be best friends with everybody. I know, there's occasions when neighbours don't get on and that sort of thing. But if you can sort of get past that and have an idea of who around you could also support you, you know. Mm. It's not just necessarily about you having to help everyone else, but if you're someone that needs some support, you know, reaching out and just developing a connection, because, you know, in a big event, you cannot rely on the emergency services. They're going to be overwhelmed.
Mm.
And they're going to have to prioritise where, you know, the most need is.
Yep.
And if it's someone who's simply just stuck at home and they can't get out of their street because there's trees down or there's, the road has disappeared, but in all intents and purposes they're safe, that may not be a high priority.
Mm.
It may be, you know, making sure that there's good access to the hospital, that, water pipes are getting repaired, that, if there are rescue efforts going, you know, from collapsed buildings and things like that, that those issues are being addressed first and foremost. So people's ability to look after themselves, we sort of say 3 days. If something happened right now and you couldn't get to a shop for 3 days, how would you go?
Mm.
And I think a lot of people, if they had a good honest look at themselves, would probably go, yeah, I'd struggle. So that's when you need to sort of extend your network and go, right, who's able to help? You know, who's got a barbecue? Who's got people probably don't have veggie gardens anymore, but, who's got some different supplies? How can we band together and make sure we can get through this for the next, 48, 72 hours?
Mm. No, I think that's quite vital. And I was just thinking in my head, okay, what have I got in the house? I think I've got enough water. I know that's one that always came up. But I'm not sure how full the gas bottle is. So we only normally think about that over summertime, don't we?
Absolutely.
Every time you go to have your first barbecue in summer, and it's like, oh no, gas bottle's empty.
Yep.
Yeah, so it's something that I think, better go and actually get that filled up now, not leave it till summertime. Yeah, that's a good tip.
Yeah, and there's recent examples like only a few weeks ago in Owakuni. That town was out of water or due to an earthquake, had caused some problems with some water pipes, and, there was a shortage of water. I think there's only one supermarket in Owakuni, and, they ran out of water pretty quick. So, just the most fundamental requirement in life, water, have you got a supply of water?
Yep.
And, we've had that happen here in Hamilton, not quite to the point where you couldn't use the water. There was a boil notice. Sometimes the treatment processes and things, there's some problems with that, and a boil water notice may be issued for certain areas. Doesn't mean you can't drink the water. You just got to boil it first to kill any bugs. Straight away the supermarkets will run out of water. There'll be a big push on that, creating additional stress that you don't really need at a time like that.
Yeah, I think that was it last year, Flagstaff Way, Rototuna Way. I don't live over that way anymore, but I was just happened to go into the supermarket, the New World Supermarket, and I was like, why has everyone got all this water? And then you go and see down the aisle where the water normally would be, and it was virtually empty, and it just felt like COVID times again, And I'm like, what have I not heard, And then I did hear it on the radio that obviously there'd been the boil water notice. So it can happen any time, can't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And, if you stopped and thought right now, got home tonight and the taps weren't working for whatever reason, what am I going to do? Mm. Having a supply of water, I think, is really important, vital. It's not as though it's going to go to waste. You can use it. You can, have it for probably 12 months without any issues, and then just use it as you would normally and get another supply.
Yeah, yeah, no, and it's not normally that expensive to get either.
No.
No, that's right.
Mm. Yeah, so that, and that's the, you know, that's probably the most basic form of being prepared, but, you know, if you sat down and had to think about things, you know, what else do you need for 3 days? Or even before that, have you got a plan for you and your loved ones if you can't get home? You know, if you can't get across the bridge for whatever reason, and you have people that rely upon you, you know, young children or older people that you care for, have you actually sat down and talked about, okay, if I can't get across the bridge and pick you up from school or wherever, where would you go? Where is another safe place, a family member, friend that you could go to and be with, you know, until I get home?
Mm.
That just takes out a lot of stress.
Yep.
You know, when something like that happens and you can't get across the bridge or you've lost that connection, if you know that there's a plan in place and that, hey, you know, the kids can go to relations place or friends place, just removes that little bit of stress.
Yep.
And that worry away from you.
Yeah, I think that's also another really great tip out there, because dare I say, here in Kirikiriwa, we've been very fortunate. We haven't sort of had too many extreme weather conditions. And I think we sort of get caught up in that lull of, yeah, no, it's not going to happen here sort of thing. Probably Christchurch said that, you know, 15-odd years ago themselves. And with our lovely Awa, it runs right through the middle, is, yeah, if all, for some reason all those bridges were out of action, yeah. You know, how would you get across if you're on the west and want to get to the east and vice versa? Yeah, hadn't really thought about that one myself, so very critical to have that plan in place.
Yeah, it's just, I don't think there'd be too many families that, you know, a member of the family wouldn't have to cross the bridge at some stage of the day for whatever reason, for work, for school, for, you know, shopping, whatever. So have a think about it, you know the area that you're in and what's a alternative route home, you know. Hopefully with our new bridge, you know, that's going to be fairly resilient and unlikely to have to be closed. But, you know, if there was a significant earthquake, one of the first things that would happen is, you know, bridges would be closed until an assessment could be done, a rapid assessment of it, to ensure that, you know, it's still safe, it can still carry traffic or at least pedestrians, and it may be some other bridges would have to be closed. So, you know, even if one or two bridges are still open, that potentially is going to create, you know, massive traffic congestion and, you know, add a couple of hours potentially to getting home. So, and just have a think about that and, you know, what is the plan? And it's something that can be, you know, talked about at home. And, you know, that's the basics of developing a plan for an event.
And it's a little bit like also too, I don't know, it's probably a little bit to the side, but, you know, sort of like having a plan at home, you know, if you have to evacuate your house in a hurry, you know, sort of probably not enough people, I think, really think about that. And where would we go, you know, if we had to all get out of the house in a hurry?
Yeah, that's right. You know, if there's a cyclone or something comes through, you know, we've had a severe cyclone through Hamilton. It was a long time ago in 1948, and, you know,
just a few years ago now.
It can happen.
Yes.
And, you know, if your roof was blown off and you couldn't stay in your house, and you had a few minutes to get out of the house, have you got some things that you could quickly grab? You know, have you got a bag with, you know, some warm clothes, a pair of shoes, you know, and if you take regular medication, have you got a supply of that to get you through for, you know, a period of time? Have you got some ID? Because if, you know, if your house is destroyed and you're trying to get hold of, or you're trying to prove that who you are to access money, or to for support, you know, there's going to be a requirement for some ID. So, you know, have you got a photocopy of your passport or
your driver's
something
license,
there,
just
driver's
in case.
License,
yeah.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, just in case you haven't got that on you. Yeah, no, that's a very valid point, actually. I'm one of these people, actually, that does have like a go bag, you know, with you know, some just clothing and yep. You know, medical supplies and bits and pieces there. But interestingly, it's like, but that stays at home. What if you're actually out and that happens? You know, I had this conversation with a couple of my colleagues the other day going, should we also have one in the car? But then also too, if you've got a work car and a home car, how many go bags do you end up having?
Yeah, that's right. And I suppose, you know, if you're someone that is in a car and it travels for work, you know, if part of your job is to travel, you know, extended into different areas, it may be a good idea to have something, you know, even a bottle of water and a
muesli bar or something.
Yeah, something like that. And if you know, again, some medication if you need that. Yes, you could have a look at your own situation. Everyone's going to be different. But, yeah, and that, I suppose, if you're stuck at work, you know, if something happens, you might not necessarily be at home. Mm. You know, if it happened right now, what would you do? Have you had contacting loved ones? You know, is there a point that you would meet if you couldn't get back home? You know, if a certain part of the city was cut off, is there a thought? Oh, well, if we can get to, you know, a particular building or a location, we could meet there. Yep. You know, and throw a few ideas around, and come up with an idea of, yep, hey, look, if worst case scenario, we couldn't get hold of each other and we can't get back home, we could meet, you know, this location.
Mm. So it sounds like, you know, we need to be a lot better planned than what we probably are. Yeah, it's a bit like the old saying, isn't it? If you fail to plan, you plan to fail.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. And look, people are busy and, yep, you know, it can add some cost. It doesn't have to. You can have, you know, some additional food at home and you can slowly develop that. I know, you know, cost of living crisis and all that sort of things and lots of families really struggle to put food on the table on an ongoing basis, let alone have, you know, a supply for that rainy day or for, you know, an emergency event. But I suppose just trying to build something up over a period of time, you know, just the real basics,
yep,
will help. And if you think of food that maybe has a longer shelf life, that you can consume yourself later as it's getting a bit older and you replace it, you know, just have a think about that.
So another good tip there indeed. All right. So if we've got people listening to us and they're like, actually, it'd be really fantastic if you could come and talk to our group. Is that something that you do in your role, or how else do you support the community to get ready?
We with such a small team that we have to be mindful of, you know, the time we spend speaking to sort of small groups. And, you know, I suppose we pick and choose to make sure that we get best bang for buck, and how can we find a network where maybe we can deliver some training to some leaders, you know, share that preparedness messaging, show them where they can get support or, you know, further learning through the various websites. We can run some training sessions that then they can take out to people themselves. That always seems to help. We do a lot of training sessions, but it is more based around trying to help the community be ready.
Yeah.
You know, there's a number of community houses within Hamilton that have created a resilience group. So if an emergency event was to occur and, you know, people were able to themselves and those facilities were open, one of those facilities would be open, you know, say like the settlement centre, where people could go, are familiar with the surroundings, are familiar with the people there and could get support, could get verified information from from ourselves, from the emergency management, you know, civil defence, mm-hmm. around which roads are open. You know, is there a actual civil defence centre opened if people who are displaced and have nowhere to go and need shelter, you know, a location would be opened and people could go there for that. So the community houses would be a first step for people to find that sort of information. Mm-hmm. And we're developing those sort of networks and communication sort of frameworks around how can we get that verified information so that if people hear it from those trusted sources, yes, you know, we know that that's verified and, you know, we're not getting told information that is incorrect.
Yeah. Oh, it's great to hear that you're working quite closely with the community houses, and they are quite a key component of local communities connecting and a bit of a one-stop shop for a lot of our communities. And it's the same outside of Hamilton too, and a lot of our smaller towns and rural communities, they've generally got a community house there, and they seem to be the go-to place to go. So great to hear that you're working closely with them and they're looking at building up their little teams to come in and help out if need be.
Yeah, yeah. You know, they know their community best.
Yeah.
And they've got the trust of the community as well. So I think that's a model that works, and it is being replicated around the country. You know, probably back to what I said earlier about that your community will always stand up first and support each other. And you know, this is, you know, people that it's from the community, run by the community, you know, in the community. So yep. You can't get much, you know, that's it's a really good framework, and we're wanting to try and set up as many of those sort of locations as possible.
Yep.
And you know, make them, I suppose, as they progress and mature, you know, people will become more familiar with them, and we can you know, publicise that fact, that people will go, hey, look, yeah, this is the closest place I can go to. Doesn't mean that there's information not going to be put on you know, Facebook and over the radio and that around, you know, key important information during an event, but that's just another source people can get support.
And also too, you know, if we think about if the power's off, you know, and you haven't got a phone to charge, you know, you can't charge your phone, or if, you know, the whole internet connections are down, you know, you can't use those mediums, can you? And so it is sort of more having to go and find face-to-face to have that conversation with someone. And we talked a little bit off air earlier about a similar way framework to a lot of the marae outside in the smaller rural communities, you know, that they're sort of that go-to place as well. I mean, obviously they generally do have accommodation and food as well. But, yeah, just having those community connectors and those sort of place to people to go to access that information, just vitally important.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, you see, you know, whenever there is a disaster event around the country, you know, sporting clubs open up. Like you said, Marae, really good, really experienced at supporting the community.
Mm, totally.
So, you know, putting support into those locations, developing those connections is vital so that when something or when it does happen, you know, we've got some plans in place around how we can communicate and, you know, better support the community.
Yep. Very good. So, actually, we haven't got too long to go. Time does go fast. So if we just go back thinking about what are those top tips, you know, if we just sort of summarise, what are those top tips for people that they should be thinking about now in a preparation perspective, and then maybe, you know, if they do face themselves in an emergency situation?
Yeah, well, I suppose look at your own individual needs. You know, have you got some dependencies on people? You know, have you got mobility issues? Have you got medical needs where you need, you know, additional batteries or things to operate some devices that you use? You know, have you got a plan around that? Have you got a network that you can call upon if you need to be, you know, evacuated from your house, or you need to get out of your place in a house in a hurry, yep. and you know, emergency services aren't necessary there? Mm-hmm. Is there someone that can come and help you do that? You know, do you have access to transport, that sort of thing? And then, you know, the people that rely on you as well. Have you thought about your needs for the children,
yep.
And pets?
Mm, yes.
And then your neighbours around you. You know, are there the vulnerable people around, or people that live alone? Who's actually going to check on someone who lives by themselves? Mm. You know, just a knock on the door. Hey, you're all right. And having a plan and just thinking about those in your immediate area.
Mm. And I think what you said before about too also is, you know, maybe if you're on one side of the river and your kids go to school on the other side of the river or something, is, you know, what if you can't get to them, and having that plan in place of who they can go to or who could potentially be the pickup person?
Yeah, and, you know, schools and you know, other education providers should have a plan around that, you mm-hmm. know, what they're going to do. Check in with them around that. You know, the Get Ready website is really good, and it's just stacked with lots of information. It's available in different languages, and that is a really good place to start. If you've got access to the internet, jump on that Get Ready website, and you could lose yourself in there for a number of hours,
yep.
but it has some really, really good information.
So if I put you on the spot and said, what is the actual address of the
Get If you just Ready? Google Get Ready.
Right.
I checked it myself a few before I came here, and yeah, just Google Get Ready, and it's, I think it's just, yeah, Get Ready.
Yep.
Straight to emergency management. It's the first thing that will come up.
Yep. Yeah, so it's getready, one word, .govt.nz. There you go. All right, so that's good for our listeners to know. All right, well, look, thank you very much, Robbie. We're actually very much nearly out of time. Really appreciate you coming in and giving us some good, really, tips around what we should be thinking about in getting ready in case of an emergency, and just, you know, having that go pack and having those plans in place, and not just get lulled into that sense of, you know, she'll be right. You know, we're okay, especially here in Kirikirira. I think we should all make sure we try and have some really robust plans in place, and some additional supplies, like some water and some food where we can. So that's all the time we have. So once again, thank you very much for coming in and sharing your wealth of knowledge with us. Really appreciate that.
No problem. My pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.